Every 4 years, it seems, a group of sinners from a much-complained-about Gomorrah-like city, Washington, D.C., finds their faith, sees the light, experiences a revelation. This finding religion, born again and again experience for these folks just happens to coincide with the presidential election campaign. Have you noticed?
Any president who doesn't begin every day on his knees isn't fit to be commander-in-chief of this country.
Amen.
And what I believe in and what my spirituality is about is that we're all in this together.
The next step is to argue that the teachings of mainstream Christianity is hate speech. That's a real and present danger.
What's better than raising your voices to God and being able to connect that brings others along with you?
That's my second favorite book of all time. Do you know what my first is? The Bible.
Nothing beats the Bible, according to Donald Trump. According to the Pew Research Center, nearly half of all people in the 12 Super Tuesday states who identify as or lean toward the Republican Party are evangelical Protestants. And there are plenty of evangelicals who identify as Democrats as well. Are evangelical Christians hearing this message from the candidates? Will they turn out today? Gabe Lyons is co-author of Good Faith. The book is out today. The founder of Q, a Christian learning community. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
Now, does that language from candidates, and we included some Democrats in there as well, does that feel patronizing to you as a Christian, or does it feel sincere? How do you respond to this ritual every 4 years?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, year after year, when you see in elections how much that pandering can take place towards Christians and to evangelicals, you get kind of used to it. There's also a part of me, though, that does recognize the sincerity of this for many of these leaders. You know, you and I maybe aren't often asked to talk on a public stage and share deeply and intimately about our faith. And so I think for many of these candidates, it's probably awkward to get out there and try to express what they really believe about God. And yet they try to do it because I think they understand how important it is in American life, especially in the South, to talk about their heritage, talk about what they believe.
Before we talk about the candidates, let's talk about the Reagan experience when evangelicals really voted with Ronald Reagan and felt, I think, at the end of those two terms that not much had been accomplished and that the social agenda of evangelicals was really ignored by the conservative Republicans. Do you worry about that happening again? And what candidate most worries you in that regard?
Well, there's a healthy skepticism, I think, these days for Christians to ever assume that a candidate is going to go in there and make all these changes that just completely line up with a Judeo-Christian vision for the country. The Reagan experience certainly also sent a new generation. I mean, I was 10 years old in the middle of that administration, and it made me, just growing up, not put so much weight on a presidential candidate to truly represent what faithfulness looks like in the culture. And I think when we do that and we heap too much into this idea that politics in general is going to shape the imagination of the American people, we've made a big mistake. And so the religious right, I think, did that. And now the pendulum has swung the other way. And I think a new generation of people are saying, you know, we're just not going to fall for that.
Is there a temptation to back a winner in the case of front runner Donald Trump? Or are you looking for someone who has true religion here?
I do think for a lot of Christians and those that I interact with a lot, no, they're taking a very hard look at whether this person has integrity and character. And someone like Trump, of course, raises all those flags of saying, hey, is this really someone, even if he can speak some of the language, even if he pronounces 2 Corinthians wrong, is this someone we could really count on and get behind? Should we as Christians really support somebody who sort of leads with pride, is quite arrogant, is somebody who puts down many of those who are marginalized? I don't think many of the Christians I interact with are saying this is somebody we should get behind. And so I think you find with amongst any people group, but the evangelical specifically, a lot of splintering, a lot of disagreement.
Hillary's seemingly sincere and consistent church going in her life, does that impress evangelicals at all, Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, because evangelicals have a high value on the pursuit of being pro-life, and that's something Hillary's never been for, and her support of Planned Parenthood, gay marriage, so many of the things that are out of step with the majority of what evangelicals think about, no matter how much she might describe prayer and how much she might describe going to church here and there, I think people see through that, and they care about a faith that's a good faith.
Do you think the death of Justice Scalia means that this election is more likely to be about abortion and the future of Roe v. Wade than you had expected going into this campaign?
I'm not sure it will. I think the death of Justice Scalia certainly has just raised everybody's attention to these big ideas over decades and how they start to shape policy. We can see how the Roe v. Wade decision over 40 years ago has affected the way we live life, how our imagination thinks. But on the pro-life front, I mean, honestly, that's shifted so much. We're really winning on that front. There's so many more mothers who now are able to see their child in their womb through ultrasounds and are turning away from abortion and moving towards giving birth, either through adoption that's provided through churches who are advocating for foster care and adoption and doing a lot more to be pro-life after a person's born.
Although the numbers, the majority numbers are with pro-choice.
Yeah, no, it's shifting though. If you look community by community, look at certain states like North Carolina, for example, they've seen a drastic drop in the number of abortions. You can see in the younger generation, they're more pro-life than their parents were. I think this is due to science. I think it's due to people hearing about the negative experiences many women have had once they've had a post-abortion experience.
Are you behind a particular candidate?
No.
And will you make up your mind, or have you just decided to be out of it for a while?
No. I'll make up my mind. I think right now part of what I'm trying to do is help a lot of evangelicals kind of understand the landscape, understand that we're not just one segment, and to think about how does your beliefs start to play themselves out in a candidate. And by the way, reminding them, don't put too much weight or stock in a presidential candidate and thinking they're going to actually make the kind of changes you want to see in the world.
Gabe Lyons is co-author of Good Faith, which is a book out today. He's the founder of Q, a learning community that mobilizes Christians to think well and advance good in society. Gabe, thanks so much.
Thank you.